Hello and welcome to Winning for Life Show, an incredible opportunity to enhance your quality of life. Every week, Wolfgang Sonnenberg and his guests present insights, inspiration, universal core principles, the know-how and do-how to live on a higher frequency, different timelines and more. We can all co-create an extraordinary future. Now, enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Winning for Life. And yeah, what does it really mean, winning? And when you get the idea of winning, or today I like to share, what was it for me when I got the idea of winning might be good and for life? If I go back in my childhood, and I mentioned it earlier in one of the shows, I was born in a family where I suffered. I had a tough time to trust my parents, and it was a kind of psychological stress. So I felt somehow as a loser. Why I am in the wrong family? Why do I have it that hard? So 2017 in LA, when I did with Bob Proctor the Winspiration Day, I had a speech and showed a slide where I was looking over the fence, and says, "Oh, that was a symbol, looking over the fence in my childhood. Why others have a better life? Why I am born here, and why they are so lucky born somewhere else." So that means at that time, I just believed you're born and that's it. You're born in the family and that's it. You're born in circumstances and that's it. I started to observe. I learned to observe. First of all, in the family itself, what was the mood of my dad and everything? What was the energy? Do I need to hide? And later, you know, in school, the same, had to maybe not done my homework and everything. So, oh, where's the mood of the teacher? Can I hide when he asks something? So I grew up testing, watching, kind of from a meta level, checking everything. So I went to school with this. And I was also sent to kind of, child church, so church for children and what they were teaching. So I was born in a Protestant family, not Catholic, the Protestants in Germany. But anyway, I got the teaching of the bad God. He is watching you, like Big Brother is watching you. So more stress and the Ten Commandments was the ten laws, what you're not allowed to do and not. That's a great energetically tip. I learned a lot of things later. But what happened in between? And quite often I ask, because people today see, wow, the beautiful life, what he accomplished, the millionaire status, where I once was, fly with private planes, luxury hotels. I needed to please my ego after all the stressy times. At the big law office, tax accounting companies, best address in Hamburg, the lake at the Alster. So facade looked so great, but that's what people remembered. They can't really imagine that I had a tough time. Okay, some know. After the big facade in Hamburg, I cut everything down, went more than a million in debts to be free again. So there were different occasions in my life when people ask me, which drop made your barrel overflow? Or what was the most important book? And it says, I can't say it. For sure, this one drop is important that the barrel is overflowing, but with all the hundreds of liters in the barrel, a drop would be nothing. With a lot of books read, maybe this one book meant nothing. Who was the best master teacher? I don't know. If I would have only one, I don't know. And then I realized it started early. Like in this kindergarten church, how they programmed me. But I felt something is wrong. At least I didn't feel good. So I wondered again, I'm in the wrong place. What is happening? And then I went to school. And it was interesting how we were treated there in the very old style in the 50s. You need to sit still. Boys needing to sitting still. Today we know from modern brain science, it's the worst thing you can do. Have a learning kid sit still. It needs to move. It learns so much easier and faster, and not this stubborn just teaching information and you have to learn and repeat. It's not, like Bob always said, that's not learning, that's just gathering information. But there were a lot of moments where I felt, here is something wrong. And I had stress, and I became a kind of clown in the classroom. So I had a lot of stress with the teachers, and they even wanted to throw me from the school. I had a tough talk with my dad, what didn't really make my relationship to my dad better, because he was pissed off what he needed to hurry her there. In the village we lived was not... it was a gymnasium, so it was a high school. To go out there, you needed to go maybe then to the lowest level school, but that was not image good for the school. So they said he can stay one and a half years longer at the school, but then he needs to go because at that time there was a period, if it's so-called 10th or 11th grade, then it's like... finishing a kind of middle-class school. And then something happened. In school, we had a big staircase, and the bell is ringing, and the school is over, and hundreds of kids were running down the staircase. And I was realizing this and asking myself, what if one of the kids would be taken out? What will change? And I realized, nothing will change. They still were running. If someone is there, and maybe in one class anyway, today someone is missing, nothing will change. And that shocked me a little bit. And I got the idea, I will not really talk anymore. I will just talk what is really important. So I was really kind of shocked how... superficial we go through life. How do you do? How you feel? And in the end, nobody's really interested. So I started to be quiet. I stopped to be the clown. And guess what my teachers were thinking? Oh, now he learned the lessons. He is not disturbing anymore. And nothing changed. Just that I was not... stressing them. Guess what? My grades went up, and then they allowed me to stay in school. Yeah, I behaved like they wanted, and then it was okay to stay there. Did I learn more? Somehow the opposite, because I was so much more in opposition to what they were teaching and doing. They called you learn for your life. But did I really learn something for my life? Until today, I learned a lot of things and can wait. Oh, when this will. Maybe I learned to learn a little bit. But the main thing I learned, what a kind of strange system that is. How the teachers try to organize. the school, the class, make them believe something. I had a time also I was really escaping from school and then faking a signature from my mom that I was sick when I needed to go back. Luckily, and that is the best thing maybe I experienced, I believe that the head teacher knew about it. But he also could see that I was not stealing drugs or whatever, that I just had stress and needed a rest. And he didn't do anything. So I could stay there and move on. We moved to another town, and there I had stress with my English teacher. Oh gosh, why should I need to learn English in school? So I had stress with this lady, and she had stress with me. And finally we made an agreement. I don't disturb, and I can read whatever I want to read. But as crazy as it is, you have a teacher, you're in the classroom, and you do something different. And they allow you to do something different, just not to disturb. Yeah, that made me thinking again, what a kind of system is that? So I was not really deep in psychology, but I said, gosh, they need to do their job. They have the stress. Yeah. And the kids. Yeah, when you talk with the kids after school and whatever, what did we learn or not learn? We had totally different topics to talk about. And what was interesting for us didn't came in school. So I learned a lot. For example, we have a famous author in Germany, Thomas Mann, who wrote the Buggenbrooks, a big, big book, and he got even a Nobel Prize. And so we talked in school about it, and classically the teacher drives into what he meant with that and what it means, interpretation. And I was a little bit lazy and bought a book about his life to get a different opinion why he was writing the book. What was his drive to write the book? And they say, oh, he had a brother who wrote a book and made money with it. So Thomas decided also, well, I write a book. And because of money. And when I shared this in school, oh gosh, that was the biggest mistake I could do. Because how can I, this guy, this super German guy on the pedestal, how can I say he did it for money? That's how he started. So I learned a lot of things already. Not really a deep understanding, but the feeling is facade. It's facade. What is it about? So finally, then school is over. And yeah, what now? Now I need to go to work? Or no, because nobody knows what to do. We decide, let's go to the university. And my dad, because of the war, didn't finish really his education, so he wanted the son should have a better life and he should go to university and so on, what he never could do. But what? I was a lazy guy, because like with the interpretation and of poems, stories, I had my problem with English, I had my problems with the English teacher better. And I was quite good at mathematics, because you don't need to learn, so you just think, understand, and it's easy, at least for me. But what do you do if you study mathematics? Going back to school, being a teacher? Gosh, no. Back to prison? Never, ever. So my dad came up with an idea. I could be an electronic engineer, and there's a part of theoretical engineer. So it's a lot of mathematics. You could go to Siemens, become a director there, and they earn quite a lot of money. Okay. Wearing a suit and making mathematics and getting a lot of money. Okay, could be something. And then two of my classmates wanted to study this as well. I said, okay, let's do it. And therefore, I needed to go to Siemens, the kind of 3 months apprenticeship, because only if you did this, were in a factory, you were allowed to study on the technical university in Berlin to become an engineer. So I did that. And that was really also life-changing experiences for me. But before that, just let's make a break.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one supplement brand, help you put back what life takes out. All-in-one comprehensive formulas created to offer you maximum benefit, whatever stage of life you're at, and with a range that supports everything from immunity, energy, cardiovascular health, joints, cognitive function, menopause, and even beauty. We've got you and your family covered. Premium ingredients packed into a powerful daily sachet. Simply mix with water to activate for a flavorful health drink. Perfect at home or on the go. Revive Active. Available at selected Holland & Barrett stores, Well Pharmacies, and online at Amazon and reviveactive.com. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Siemens. 3 months Siemens. I was young, didn't have a car. I needed to go in the bus where I lived 5:10 in the morning because everything started 6:30. Okay, 3 months, I will survive that, and later I'm as the engineer and life will be totally different. To make the story short, I realized the guy who was switching on the conveyor belt 6:30 was the engineer. So there was one reason in the end not to study this electric technical stuff. But there was something in between what made me think different. So I wasn't, and I still today, I'm not really the practical guy. And the first months of the 3 months, you were in the kind of education, how to drill, screw, and prepare, create stuff. That was tough for me, working with my hands. And I was not really good with it. And I told them, the guy who was the main teacher, was not the right name, teacher, was a kind of master for this young kids. And I told him, that's not possible, it's not working. And he directly showed me here a little bit and made it very fast. And so suddenly I had what we should create. And I got not the best note, not the best grade for it, but a good one. So I passed the test because I asked him, or I told him it's not working, and he showed me it's working. And that was crazy because somehow he was not judging me, he was judging his own stuff. So kind of mixture. But you learn, you have no clue, and you ask someone who knows, and he's doing it very fast, faster than I ever could do it. Okay, interesting stories like that. 4 weeks passed by, and then we went in the factory. And yes, winning for life. What did I see? You know, at that time it was, but still today, I guess, the companies were extremely controlling the workers. So you needed to stamp your kind of personal card at a clock that you enter the factory and when you leave. So that's the way how they controlled. Did you work enough time, all the hours? Well, it's crazy. They controlled only when the card was stamped. And then I realized that it's not controlling the work. And I got proof. Because they had 8 hours to work, so maybe they stopped working after 7 hours. And you don't never know how intense they were working. Or you couldn't see it really or what they did. But then you saw before the 8 hours were over, they lined up. They were showered, they were fresh, they were talking, playing with a cigarette in the hand, because when they're out they could smoke. So they just were waiting until the signal came that the 8 hours went, and then tuck, 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 everybody stamped his card. So what proof of work was that? And then occasionally, if someone has really a difficult situation, couldn't be there, a friend stamped the card. So I was watching this. Not just, I never was really into it, training this and learning this and mingle totally in this kind of energy and thoughts to be one of them. Because maybe also because of the 3 months, I knew I will not stay there. But I watched it. And thought, how crazy is that? So I was, because of my childhood, maybe always in the observer thing, how crazy is that? Then there was another guy where I needed to learn a special technique and work. And it was an elderly guy. And he was somehow stressed and afraid when I was around. So one day I asked him, what is it? What is stressing you? Why I'm stressing you? And he said, I'm not sure. Maybe one day you're my boss. So he was already afraid that I might be in 10 years be a boss and exactly at that place. Crazy. That's interesting what people can think. And then I met someone who was a young guy who just made the normal school, was an apprentice, and then in evening courses, he made a kind of engineer. What is it, a kind of low-level engineer? Because he was not in university and got a real diploma, as it said. And when I met him, it was nice. We talked nice, and we even in the break had table tennis together. And I got to know him, and he shared how lonely he is there. I think, how can you be lonely? You have so many colleagues. Yeah, but all the apprentices, like me when I came in, they don't like me anymore because I studied more in the evening, and they say, you want to be someone better. So they don't talk with me. And all the real engineers, the diploma engineers, think, yeah, that is a sheep engineer, so it's not one of us. So suddenly, he didn't belong to any group. He was alone. And again, what did I realize? How people treat each other and notice what he is capable of doing. And then at the time, when I was there, there were a lot of people from Yugoslavia working on the conveyor belt, so I had also a few days working on the conveyor belt. And I met incredible, wonderful guy. He did stupid work there just on a conveyor belt, but he was such a happy nature and enjoyed being alive, happy to have this job, sending money home for his family, and he enjoyed it. It was a joy to be around him and feeling better just because of his presence. How could that be? He didn't study. He had a stupid job. Gosh. And here was the next lesson in life. So that's just a short period of, a short list of examples, what I learned in school. And so always watching. And I started then to watch also, why are people successful? Because I learned not what I thought first. You're born and that's it. You're born in this family, that's it. Because now, being 20 plus years on planet, I saw people who were born in the super family. It looked all so good, but 20 years later, they were in a big mess. And then I saw, if it's just a little engineer who made something to improve his life, to see the guy from Yugoslavia, how they develop in life. And you learn more and more and see it doesn't matter where you come from. You decide how you feel. Are you afraid that someone maybe in 10, 12 years, theoretically in all the possible positions on planet Earth, is just ending up where he is working and be his boss? Or be so happy to be alive and enjoy life? Or the illusion it was the engineer, SIG 30, who switched on the conveyor belt. So there was a few other reasons. I went one semester to the university, but I said, no, this technical stuff is nothing for me. And then I decided I need to do something different. Maybe my childhood and the experience there says, gosh, no, I need to do something different. I need to, yeah, what can I do? The young boy in me, the young Wolfgang, said, I want to do something more for justice in life. And I decided to study law, to become a lawyer and working and saving the world and rescue all the people. So, the next illusion. Just have a short break.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Delightful news, air travelers. Going in and out of airports without getting sick can be challenging. Time to take charge of the air you breathe with Nasal Guard. Nasal Guard topical gel defends by blocking harmful airborne particles and viruses. Try Nasal Guard for air travelers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about Nasal Guard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk. UK.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, aunt and deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
Strawberries and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
So decision was made. I then changed universities from the technical universities, a so-called free university in Berlin. I studied in Berlin. And, yeah, studied law. And that was really interesting also, little experiences about the psychology of things. Because, you know, if you come to university first, the first semester is mainly to figure out how everything is working. Like, I hear from people who become a member of a parliament, the first year is just figuring out where is the photocopy machine, where this, where that, until you finally understand how the game is played there. We got kind of our tasks. You need to attend workshops again. You get a paper, so the professor gives you a stamp that you attended. And there were some, they were so boring, I didn't like to be there all the time. And I don't know where it came from, but suddenly I realized a kind of trick. So when the new semester, because it was a few semesters where we need to have the different working groups and get these papers, what you need to collect, if you have them all, you were allowed to say, now I'm ready for the big test in the end. So when it started in the beginning of the semester, the first session, I was very active, talking. Not that I knew a lot, but I knew I need to be seen. I need to be involved with the professor, see him talking. So raised my arm, and I was really intense working with him. And when I met him in the hallway or so, hello, and just, oh, another question. And then I skipped a few sessions. But I was in his brain. So it was not really a problem that I was there or not there. I was in his brain. And so I always got then the paper that I intended all the time. So that was strange also. Then I learned, because we have different laws, there's a criminal law, then there's business, family. There's a lot of different areas of law and different professors for whatever specification. So, and you learn this, and then you realize they are specialized on something and they want to be pleased there. So I got once in a task a bad grade because it was about one topic, like civil right stuff, but there was a professor also making his comments, who was from more kind of bureaucratic laws, official government law, and he wrote underneath not enough of his favorite law. I said, "Oh gosh, that was a different task," but he didn't feel good. He felt ignored because I didn't mention, you can write, I learned you can write, I checked also this and this and this, but it is not applying here. Then they can be happy, but they don't want to be ignored. So that's I learned at the university. And I had a chance to work for a professor, we call it HIVI, really helping person. We didn't have Zoom or internet at that time. So I was cutting out of papers, special decisions from courts, and then put them together to a special paragraph. So I'm creating kind of individual database for my professor. I didn't need to think, I just need to cut and make them stick on this, his system. And because of that, I worked there. I had also the key, and had a quite a good personal relationship with him. I could also, on the weekend or and I'd sit in his office and work there. And in the end, when you finish the exam, and you get a six-week task, you need to get a big case and you need to write a little booklet about it. You need a lot of books and study on different decisions made, calls from courts. And if you sit with the normal people and you can't find him of the book. So I was sitting in my professor's office, and because he had a lot of books there and could work quietly. And I did it on a weekend. And suddenly the door goes open and one of the other professors came in because he was wondering what is going on there. And then he saw me, the little Heavy, the just little helper, sitting there. And oh, it's you. Okay, all fine. And went. If you belong to the gang, everything is fine. Doesn't matter which ring you have there. That was interesting. And one day, and this is also what really changed a lot in my life, my professor, in the morning I met him in the university, and he was stressed. He was kind of anxious. I said, oh, what is? And he said, oh, now he has needs to go, because in Germany, if you study law, you're not tested by the university, you're tested by the government. So there is an extra organization who tests all the students who want to, be a lawyer. So he said, I have to go for the test, the exam. I said, oh, even you as a professor will be tested? I said, no, I will not have any questions. But, even if we ask the students, we want to do good. We just want not to stress. We want to have a good question session and everything. And suddenly I realized, oh, that is not just a former professor. It's a human being. There is a human being behind the facade. And that changed my life. Because everywhere now, I don't see a doctor or everything. I see always the humans. But mainly at that time, it was important for me when it was my turn to have the final written tests. And then comes the verbal examination and testing and questioning. And there were four people questioning you, professors and official employees from the government. And I was not that afraid for the session, because that's all humans. So I went in just to talk with them, not being tested. So I talked with him, one of us, you, me, well, we are talking about law, about this, and how we see that, what we think about it. So I was not in the stressy mood. When they asked something, I said, oh, I'm not sure if I understand your question right. It could be like this or that. What is the real thing? What do you want to? My opinion about this is that and this. So I was not behaving like the stressed student. Just someone who can really talk about the subject. Even if there was things what I was not so good at, but I could talk about it and show that I can reflect on it. And guess what? I got nearly the best note possible, a grade possible for it. And that was super good. Because I saw the humans. Later on, and we talked here also, when we see the non-violent communication, Marshall Rosenberg talked about it. Just see the human. See them. See also that the professor might have stress, that the policeman might have stress. They're all humans behind the facade. And they keep up a big facade that they can play the role, even if they like from the individual standpoint to do different things. I can get kind of rage sometimes about politicians, what they do now when we had these so-called pandemic, what they did, and I can see that they're a kind of murderer for me, what they did because they knew it was wrong, how they treated the people. But also I see the humans, what stress they have. Maybe Putin is a whatever, paranoid guy or whatever, but it's also human. And I know, if you look at his history, you can't talk with him normal because he needs to keep up his build facade, his persona. And then, you know, it makes no sense just intellectually to talk to people. And I did another session here before, also you can check it out, is more than 90% of what people say to you is a lie. Not that they want to lie to me, but they lie to themselves. So if they lie to themselves, they can't lie to me. If you meet a professor privately and have a beer with them and say, you can find a totally different person. You don't find the officer, the professor, the doctor. You find humans and often the little boy, the little girl who was not allowed to live. So winning for life is not just getting the title, getting money, be this or that profession. Winning is gaining more wisdom, getting more understanding, more awareness, consciousness, if you like, living the true self. And it's not if you just win in an area where you not belong, what's not your nature, you're actually losing it. You're losing. You're not working in the best interest of yourself, not in your highest interest. And when you go with your true nature, your true self, and develop that and better, I want to learn more. I want to be better tomorrow. I want to increase and live my purpose better. This is, first of all, winning for you, for your individual life. If I go for my true self, if I live my best interest, I give others the permission to live their true nature. And this is, for me, winning for life. Not only for my life, for life itself, for other lives. What if, just a fantasy, or what Bob, John Lennon would say, maybe you call me a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. What if we all live our true self? We all go for winning for life. Then we all can maybe live in a world where we don't need paranoid people who fight. If we have enough awareness, if we, like Rosenberg says, I see your best interest, then we can come to what I call the win-win society. And that means, like Einstein says, yeah, you know, the mind who created the problem can't solve it. And that you see with all the war stuff, Ukraine, Israel, they're all on the same level fighting, same energy level fighting. Nobody dares to step up different Mandela. And he said, now it's time for forgiveness. Not just be forgive because church said it. No, because it's the only way we can live different. Otherwise, we are stuck in throwing stones or shooting or whatever. What is it how we really want to live? And if we go there, then we go for winning for life. And winning. Because win-win is only possible if you are willing to win. But not for win-lose, for win-win. And that is a creative process. This is going on a different level of frequency. That is, like in modern terms, we go on a different level of timelines. In one of the next sessions, I will go deeper into timelines. But just imagine you listen to a radio station. Maybe they were all classical music. And now you change the frequency to another channel where maybe it's rock music. If you switch to the other channel where the rock music is, there is no past, there is no history of classical music. So that means if we shift frequency, if we shift timelines, the old past is just gone because you're on a different frequency. And like in the Bible, and whoever heard it in the Christian world is, you can become from Saulus to Paulus. You can change it. The secret, Michael Beckwith, he was a drug dealer and now he is running a spiritual church. Everything is possible. Winning for life. The more awareness we have, the more consciousness we have, you will understand that's why I wrote the book for the Winspiration idea. The best is yet to come. Be 100% sure it will come. Till then, and every second of your life, stay winspired.
You've just heard a glimpse of what Wolfgang Sonnenberg has to share. Dive deeper into his teachings by following this show, subscribing to his YouTube channel, or visiting wolfgangsonnenberg.com. Connect with us, tell us about your life goals, and start exploring how the universe is here to support you 100%. We can't wait to share more Winning for Life insights with you. Until then, stay connected, stay inspired.